time when I think I'm more. What are they pop from my eyes, yo? Somebody say when I leave, I'm more. But I say me, I must talk, I'm more. I said the donkey to them, mama, the donkey to them, papa, I said the donkey to them, mama, them, papa, them, mama, them, papa, them, mama, I said the donkey to them, mama, them, papa, them, mama, them, papa, them, mama, them, papa, them, mama, so the match they go to you. 10,000 soldiers for both of you. Ask them where them they go. Them say them they
nightmares. An African nightmare.
Yeah.
Africa live. Africa live. Africa live. Africa live. Africa live.
Uhuru and welcome to Africa Live here on uhururadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we have a great show lined up for you today. And to kick this show off, I have on the line with me two important comrades who play important roles in an organization called the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project. An organization that is doing incredible work in various parts of the world, and we're going to talk about that on today. We have with us the director of APDEP, which is short for All African People's Development and Empowerment Project, Dr. Aisha Fields. And we also have APDEP's Director of Economic Development, Brother Nate Gilliam. So uhuru and welcome, y'all. It's good to have y'all on the line. Just to start the discussion off, can you Aisha, can you explain what the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project is?
Sure. Uhuru, I really want to express appreciation to you, Comrade, for allowing us to take part in Africa Live and to talk a little bit about the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project, which is an organization that was built by the African People's Socialist Party. It's a part of the Uhuru movement. And it was launched in 2007 with the goal of organizing African people around the world to be able to use our skills to be able to create do-for-self development projects anywhere in the African world, to be able to address the questions of the health of African people, access to health care, clean water, food, any of those things that would impact the quality of life for African people. And APDEP has been, I think, a really important strategy of the Uhuru movement to be able to make use of the skills that Africans have all around the world. But for the most part, you know, we've not had an opportunity to collectivize those skills to be made available anywhere we are as African people to, to improve our lives, you know, and to be a part of a process that's happening all around the world is a really exciting thing, you know, to see Africans coming together using those skills to improve our lives. So APDEP has been, an organization that was established, you know, as a part of the overall trajectory that the Uhuru movement is you know, putting African people on to solve our own problems, to usher in an era of self-determination and self-government for African people. And we like to see ourselves as the development arm. In fact, our motto is development towards liberation. So that's who we are, the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project.
Uhuru. And Nate, one thing I've heard said about APDEP repeatedly is that it's not a charity. You know, I've heard it said various settings. APDEP is not a charity. Can you say why that is so important?
Well, like to allude to what Aisha was saying about charity is the thought process that, first of all, we need to question why charity is needed in the first place. If we look at the conditions of Africa and African people, the whole, concept of charity is not questioning why these people are in this condition. First of all, let's just, give African people something, so they can survive or things like that. But if we really examine, what has happened to African people historically, the original attack on Africa, and then the dispersement of African people, that is at the root of the problem and why the work of APDEP is necessary. So it's not a charitable organization where we're trying to, put a Band-Aid on a mortal wound, but we're actually taking care of, uniting our skills and our resources to take care of problems on our own terms. So that's the biggest idea behind charity. Charity is a demoralizing thing. It's really actually, you really look at it, it's a crass situation. If you really look at, these organizations that want to come into Africa and African communities without really examining that question and that kind of function.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, it's funny, you see places that have the most charities are the places with the worst type of situations, like in Haiti. I don't remember the number of charities there, but I think Haiti is a place that is supposed to have one of the highest concentrations of charities per square inch in the world. And for all the time that they've been there, the situation has only gotten worse. In fact, they pretty much play a role in that. So
exactly. Yeah, I think there's something like 10,000 NGOs on the ground or something like that in Haiti. Jeez. After the earthquake happened, all these other, foreign entities that, don't have the people's interests at heart. First of all, these organizations, they're not they're not held to any kind of like democratic process of what they're doing. You know, they're actually, you know, the people that run these organizations, they might not even examine this problem correctly of whatever they're going in trying to fix. And first of all, and they're not, you know, African spearheaded organizations. So the whole problem of charity is again, another entity coming in, analyzing half of the problem and trying to fix it from that kind of perspective is really going to lead you to actually more problems than it is solving the problem.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, I think like charity is really charity is a problem. You know, charity is a real problem for African people and for any oppressed people, because any organization that would approach a problem of an oppressed people with charity is a group or organization that has no interest in really helping to improve the conditions of those people, because the reality is, when you look at Africa and when you look at African people, you know, charity gives us the impression that our problem is that we lack something, that we lack, you know, we lack some kind of skills, or we lack some kind of desire to improve our lives, or we lack the right religion, or we lack, you know, the ability to save, or we somehow, you know, don't have resources that other people have that would allow for us to have the kind of standard of living that white people have. When the reality is the exact opposite, that, you know, we do not have, what we do not have is self-determination. What we do not have is control over the vast resources, you know, over the you know, enormous kind of skills and intellect that African people have. That's what we lack. And so charity is one of those things that is really insidious, because it totally turns the question on its head, and it defines the question of poverty and the question of what it's going to take to eradicate poverty out of the realm of what's real, you know, and it gets people involved in something that might feel good, but that it, you know, just like Nate said, demoralizes people, one group of people, the oppressed people who they claim to be helping, and it helps to, you know, continue to justify for those who have everything at the expense of everybody else, you know, that they're so great and deserving of what it is that they have. It's a real problem. And APDEP, you know, is out there in the world not only to do our work, but to challenge that whole notion that it is charity that's going to solve our problems, when we realize that it's self-determination and self-government that's going to solve this problem of poverty for African people.
Ooh. Now, go ahead.
No, I didn't have anything to add to that. She hit it right on the head with that.
All right. Well, you know, the name All African People's Development Empowerment Project makes an assumption that it does work beyond borders, you know, of one African group of African people or another. Can you say, Nate, where all APDEP is doing work right now?
Yeah. Currently, you know, in the U.S., we have a branch in Washington, D.C. We have a branch in Houston, Texas. I actually chair the branch in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have membership in Toronto and Toronto, Canada, Columbia, South America. Huntsville just got started with a branch. And then St. Petersburg, after the summer project, has been starting a backyard garden collective. And then also, of course, Sierra Leone, West Africa. So those are the places that we are.
Okay. Now, not long ago, APDEP did a Stop the Hemorrhaging tour, featuring nurse midwife Mary Karoma from Sierra Leone. Aisha, can you say what the tour was about and what came out of that tour?
Sure. The tour was about a 6-week long US-wide tour. That happened between March and April of this year. And like you said, we toured a really important leader, you know, in our movement, in APDEP, Sister Nurse Midwife Mary Karoma. You know, we initiated the tour because APDEP had, you know, for the last couple of years, we have been really wanting to intervene in this question of infant and maternal health, you know, for African women and children. And we understood that Sierra Leone was the place in the world that not only for African people, but for, you know, all people, had the highest rate of infant and maternal death. And something like 1 in 8 women, the official statistics, you know, come in official in quotes, statistics indicate that something like 1 in 8 of our sisters, you know, dies in childbirth in Sierra Leone, and 1 in 10 of our babies dies before the age of 1. And you know, and we've been wanting to intervene in that question and try to see what we could do to, you know, to improve the health you know, of our sisters and our babies. And we had had an opportunity to link up with the sister nurse Mary Karoma, who, you know, has been working as a midwife in Sierra Leone for, you know, for many years, and who had had a really really, you know, great success in terms of you know, not only delivering healthy babies and making sure that moms, you know, were, you know, were able to survive the birthing process, but that who had begun really looking at the question of, you know, organizing our people, you know, mobilizing people around around this question. And, you know, she had been working, you know, doing some great work with training and monitoring traditional birth attendants, you know, helping to, you know, organize a network of those sisters to try to help improve the kind of skills that women have, you know, who are helping to attend birth. And so we brought Nurse Mary to the U.S. For a U.S.-wide tour, because we had, you know, we had decided that we would work together to, you know, to develop a project to help to expand the kind of work that she had been doing, and to develop a campaign that would help to raise resources for building a you know, a really great maternal facility in Sierra Leone. So we brought her to the U.S. We had a 9-city tour, really excellent tour. We had an opportunity to really open people's eyes about the conditions for African women and babies. We're able to connect that to the conditions, not only in Sierra Leone, but the fact that African women, wherever we are, in fact, where Nate lives right now in Milwaukee, there are communities there, African communities, that have rates of infant and maternal death comparable to Botswana, you know. And so we were able to, you know, connect the dots between, you know, the fact that there are, you know, Africans all around the world, we're experiencing the same kind of stuff, even around this question of infant and maternal health. And we went all over. We went to churches. We went to universities. We went to charter schools. We went to nursing schools. We went to birthing centers. We went everywhere. And, you know, people were really excited about you know, about participating in that work. We raised a little over $10,000 through the tour, made great contacts, won some membership. And since the tour, Nurse Mary has gone back to the U.S., not as a partner, but as the APDET Sierra Leone chairperson. And she's been leading incredible work, you know, since she returned. And part of what we've been able to accomplish since the tour around this question of infant maternal health is that, you know, we did not have enough to build a new facility. We weren't able to raise enough money to build a new facility. So we're in the process right now of, as a stopgap measure, to renovating the current clinic that Nurse Mary had been operating, which is now called the APDEP Wynn Health and Birth Center. We've been making sure, you know, every month that there are the, you know, medicines available in the clinic, supplies and equipment necessary. In fact, we sent Nurse Mary back with about 250 pounds of medicines and medical equipment and supplies. And you know, we're really working hard now to be able to have that new facility built. Right now, it's looking like early part of 2013. So it's been tremendous. The tour has helped to really move a lot forward, and in just a few months, 6 months, a lot has been accomplished.
How has that impacted on the capacity of that the center there? Like how has it created a better situation in terms of the infant maternal mortality rate there? In that area, at least?
Well, one thing that it's allowed us to do is to increase the number of sisters who've been able to, you know, attend the clinic. I have to say, before Nurse Mary, before we had even, you know, connected with Nurse Mary, she had had, and one of the reasons why we really wanted her to be a part of this process and really were excited to have her, you know, join APDEP and to lead that work in Sierra Leone is that she had, she's delivered over 3,000 babies and without one fatality of the mother or child, which is incredible given the situation that exists in Sierra Leone. And since she's returned, one of the things that has, you know, has improved, not her success rate necessarily, because she's had an excellent success rate already, she and the PBAs that she monitors, but we've been able to, now that we have, you know, for example, there were not basic kind of equipment in the clinic like a baby scale. Children, the babies had to be weighed on a meat hook, okay? There were no adult, you know, scales for the mothers to be, you know, their weight to be monitored. There weren't, you know, basic kinds of equipment that, and medicines were not available, you know, for the sisters, which are now available. So in many ways, I think we've been able to, you know, help to improve the kind of quality of care that the sisters get, and also increase the number of people. In fact, in September alone, over 200 people, not even just pregnant women, but, you know, brothers, other people who have been dealing with malaria and dehydration and other kinds of issues, have gone through and received care and medicines from the APDEP Wynn Health and Birth Center just in the month of September. So we're seeing that it's really making, we're really making an impact in that community there.
Right on. We're going to we want to take a break here and come back in just a moment. We've been talking with the All African Peoples Development and Empowerment Project's director, Dr. Aisha Fields, and director of Finance and Economic Development, Brother Nate Gilliam. And when we come back, we'll continue this discussion about the projects APDEP is involved in Sierra Leone right now. So stay tuned right here on Africa Live on WhoRadio.com.
Salon tide, salon tide like yesterday. Salon tide, Papa God, sorry for ye. Idan baku na disto. Idan baku, any size so cutter. Say we the ask for the right leader na disto. Papa, sorry for you, give we leader na we land. Say we don't know how for run things. I don't know how for live life. Papa God, I go sorry for mama. They we remember how for live life. Man, we remember
how for run things, mama.
Say we remember how for live life. Man, we remember
how for run things, mama.
Say I remember how for live my life. Say we remember
how for run things, mama.
Say I remember how for live life. Man, we remember
how for run things, mama.
Say I remember how for live my life. Say we remember
how for run things, mama.
Say say I remember how to live my life.
See them in television, tell the better people about poor. Na bad thing, na bad disease, where they bring this way during the rain season. You find the people walk under the forget I live in. My mama don't want me to do right, and I think how for make it when I feel the hunger. Where the flow like a breeze, na end me with mankind. What am I going to do to save my people from suffering? No education, just starvation, not donation. Not in the bring frustration, not the sanction. The new generation will get revelation.
the fight for power. Forget the job, don't mind the kill the people. The children cry, no solution for protection. Yes, bad situation, man. They talk about elections on the celebration. I make occasion for satisfy the people, not to corporation. I corrupt, so let me ask a question. We can't source, we know the cause. We drop the gun, no more fighting. Until the general not on the back, give me your face, make you see face to face. No matter the poor, we know about justice. Try for the unjust things. Because I see truth now, you live and on about to hide. Simply the high dam. He left you and God. We call, we all. For the account, for to be the do on earth. If you remember this, round envelope the past, not cause, not to later. My magistrate for the better people, not for the poor.
Man, now we remember. Say we remember how to live life. Man, now we remember. Say I remember how to live my life. Say we remember. Say I remember how to live life. Man, now we remember. Say I remember how to live my life. Say we remember. Say I remember how to live life. Man, now we remember. Say I remember how to live my life. Mama Saloon, God bless Mama Saloon.
Listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the international African revolution.
Wuru, and welcome back to Africa Live here on WhoRadio.com. I'm your host, Yabinga Zimbabwe, and we've been speaking with representatives of the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project, Dr. Aisha Fields, its director, and Brother Nate Gilliam, its director of finance and economic development. And we've been talking about APDEP's projects in Sierra Leone, which have had some incredible growth recently. Comrades, we've been talking about the infant and maternal mortality rate and the health and birth center that APDEP has there that is doing incredible work in terms of delivering hundreds of babies over the last few months, including twins with no fatalities. I think that's incredible, especially in a country with an average of 1 in 8 women dying in childbirth. I think that's really incredible. But another thing is, I understand that APDEP has launched a school in Sierra Leone as well. Dr. Fields, can you tell our listeners about that?
Sure. On the 26th of September, APDEP Sierra Leone, under the really very competent leadership of our chair there, Sister Nurse Midwife Mary Karoma, under her leadership and the leadership of the executive committee of APDEP Sierra Leone, we were able to launch the APDEP Vocational Institute, AVI, which opened its doors with 70 students who are receiving training in a number of areas, in midwifery, carpentry, hairdressing, help me, Nate. Let's see, hairdressing,
catering, craft making, garter tie dyeing, different skills to, you know, to generate economic development and just the skills to have for the community.
So. Absolutely, yeah. So we've been really excited about that work. We want to be able to expand that. I know that there is a lot of interest right now also in teaching computer repair, computer technology. So that's something that's, you know, that's being looked into now. But one of the things that's really exciting about the AVI also is that we've also, alongside of that, opened up a nursery school for, you know, parents who attend the institute who, you know, who need access to child care. So we got about 20 children right now from 0 to 4 who are students at the nursery school that's attached to the AVI. So, you know, we're really, really excited about the opportunity that this offers us, because part of what it is that we are looking to win from this vocational school is not just that people walk away with a certain skill, because that's important, but our goal beyond that is also to train people to be African internationalists, so that those skills that they have, they understand, have to be made, have to be contributed to this overall process that we're involved in as African people to be able to win self-determination, for ourselves. So we're really excited about the AVI and the possibilities that exist because of its establishment.
Right on, right on. And so when do you anticipate, like, the first group of graduates from this institute?
Well, the way the school is the terms are set up, they're going to be 3-month terms. So, the first session, it started in September, October, November, December. So by December, there will be a group of students who would have completed the first term there. And I think what the comrades there are looking at is that certain areas of training might require one term. You know, some may require a couple different terms. So I would anticipate, though, within the next year, we'll have graduates in each of those areas that we're currently training people in.
Okay, that's exciting. It's exciting. Now, another thing, though, that I understand is that APDEP is farming in Sierra Leone as well. can you talk about that?
Sure. One of the things that we had a lot of discussion about when Nurse Mary was here in the U.S. for the Stop the Hemorrhaging tour was that the approach to addressing the question of infant and maternal health couldn't just be about access to medical care. You know, that it had to be about, first of all, about organizing people so that we could have a multifaceted approach to the question of improving the health of our sisters and birth outcomes. And so one of the things that that Nurse Mary really was really adamant about in terms of getting moved on really quickly when she returned was around the question of farming. And we felt like the question of farming was really important for a couple reasons. One, many of our people in Sierra Leone, as is the case, you know, throughout Africa and around the world where we are as African people, the question of food insecurity or hunger is a big question. Mm. You know, people make, on average, less than, a dollar a day. And, you know, people, you know, make what they can in the day, and that goes towards food, you know, for the most part. And so we wanted to be able to address the fact that, you know, our folks don't have access to the kind of food that we need to be healthy, or, you know, or to even survive, for that matter. And so we felt like we could, it could be a real dynamic process for us to engage our APDEP members in farming for their own survival, you know, to be able to address that, and also to be able to, you know, with any excess food that was farmed, to be able to be sold and generate resources that could sustain the members of the organization, that could sustain the work of the organization, and that could be, you know, one of those things that people could see that would be, you know, draw them into organization, to draw them into APDEP. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been really, you know, really successful, because one of the things that we recognize, and one of the reasons why APDEP is such an important strategy of a party, is that we want to be able to equip our people with the correct political line. We want to be able to give people the correct worldview. We want people to be able to do that. Oftentimes, what complicates that, though, is the fact that we're dealing with real, basic, everyday issues, like how am I going to get enough to eat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to take care of the fact that I got this malaria? You know, how am I going to take care? Basic questions that, you know, that make it difficult for us to even feel like we have the space to be involved in, you know, larger political struggles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sustained political struggle, you know? And so we found it really important and really helpful that we've entered into this farming work. We've got 3 farms now in various cities, in Makolo, Makonji, and Mariba Town. We've got the multi-acre farms. We've got a corn farm, cassava farm, and a groundnut farm. We also have a potato farm as well. And so, you know, a lot of the sisters who are traditional birth attendants, who are part of APDEP, they may not get paid for, you know, for helping to deliver babies, because folks don't have the resources, but they work, you know, as a part of the farming work, and they're able to, you know, have some cassava, have some corn, you know, make a few dollars selling what's extra. Some of the sisters who are childbearing age, or even brothers, because there are brothers who are part of APDEP, who are part of the farming work and the other kind of work that we're engaged in, you know, have an opportunity to you know, to benefit from this. And so we're really excited about it, and we're looking to expand it. We're looking for people who have skills in agriculture, who can help us to identify, you know, maybe better practices, you know, better farming practices, who can help with equipment and you know, other kinds of things that can help us to expand. We believe this is a good start, but we know that we can do a lot more if we have, you know, the input and the contribution and the energy of other Africans, you know, who can help to contribute to this process as well.
Right on. And, you know, something you just said that I thought was really important. You noted that there are brothers that are part of the APDEP work too. And, you know, sometimes you look at some of the projects of APDEP and, you know, like the infant maternal mortality rate and infant maternal mortality work. And, you know, people can look at that and think, you know, well, this is something for women, when the reality is it's something that impacts our entire community.
That's right.
And that everybody should have a stake in dealing with.
That's right, comrade. In fact, you know what? When we were in, participating in the Stop the Hemorrhaging Tour, our last tour date was at the National Conference of African Students. And I may not be saying that completely right, but it was a national conference of students who are primarily from the continent of Africa who go to school in the U.S. And they had invited Nurse Mary and I to give a presentation at their national conference. And after the presentation, there was a brother from Ghana who approached us, who said that his sister had died in childbirth, and that his mother had died giving birth to him, and that he really felt it was really important that brothers participate in the work to address this question of infant and maternal health, because it is not a question of just women or babies, because it is a question for the entire African community. And I really, you know, appreciated that brother's position. And we definitely have as a part of our work brothers who understand and sisters who also understand that this is a question of our entire people, this question of infant and maternal mortality.
Right on. All right, so I want to take another break here. We are talking with representatives of the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project, the director, Dr. Aisha Fields, and the director of Finance and Economic Development, Brother Nate Gilliam. And we'll come back in just a minute. And when we come back, we want to invite those of you who are listening to participate in the discussion that we're having here. Got to say that right. So stick with us here on Africa Live on HuruRadio.com.
My brother, my sister, don't need today. Oh, oh, if you could do a party, you make with the tango, yeah. Baba, God, now your hand work, yeah. Don't be lying, I say, no be lying, yeah. Don't be everybody, why sleep for night? You wake up, see the light, yeah. See the future is bright, yeah. I need the enter for I, yeah. Make you do your best, yeah. Baba, God, go handle the rest, yeah. Even if you don't get money, they jolly, they shake body. No need to get your body. If it no be God, way. Last one be dead body. Nobody be no baby. When you fall, you go stand up again. You try him again, again and again and again. Cause it no easy, yeah. To the singer, they dance, and the people, they rejoice, yeah. My brother, my sister, don't need today. Make with the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working, yeah. I see it. My people, eh, on a good day. Nobody wake up for this world to suffer, eh. Then a bad day. Now you come today, another man tomorrow. My brother, which kind of life be this, eh? Everybody getting always to follow. Try, but you know easy, eh. You know easy, eh. Even if you don't get money, eh. They jolly, they shake body. No need to the dead body. If you know be God way, that's on be dead body. Nobody be dumb, baby. When you fall, you go stand up again. You try him again, again and again and again. Cause it's not easy, yeah. To the singer, they dance, and the people, they rejoice, yeah. My brother, my sister, don't need today. If you could do a party, you make with the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working, yeah. The true story be say, this music it don't be today. The team in the start like play play. But now we don't they throw away. So make una seriously. For my business, yeah. I make with the dress to the riches, yeah. Why? Cause you know easy, yeah. Even if you don't get money, yeah. They jolly, they shake body. Cause the way you defect the complaint, yeah. If you know be God, way, yeah. That's when be dead body, yeah. Nobody be no baby. And when you fall, you go stand up again. You try him again, again and again and again and again. Cause you know easy, yeah. The singer, they dance, and the people, they rejoice, yeah. Oh, oh, my brother, my sister, don't need today. Oh, oh, if you could do a party, yeah, make with the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working, yeah. I say, you know, easy, yeah. Oh, oh, to the singer, they dance, and the people, they rejoice, yeah. Oh, oh, my brother, my sister, don't need today. Oh, oh, if you could do a party, yeah, make with the tango, yeah. Baba God, now your hand working, yeah, yeah. You know easy, yeah. You know easy, yeah. My brothers and sisters, you know easy, yeah. You know easy, yeah. You know easy, yeah. Even if you don't get money, you know easy, yeah. You sing and the dance, the talk less of to shake body. You know easy, yeah. Try.
resources, both material and human, of African and other people as a consequence of its existence. Stealing black labor, black bodies, black territory of the rape of Asia, Latin America.
Ooh, and welcome back to Africa Live here on the WhoRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've been talking with representatives of the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project. Dr. Aisha Fields, its director, and Nate Gilliam, its director of finance and economic development. And we want to invite those of you who are listening to participate in the discussion that we're having here. You can do so by calling in or emailing in. You can call the U.S. number, which is 727-565-1599. You can call the U.K. number, which is 020-8133-6629. Or you can call us through Skype for free anywhere in the African world. Our Skype ID is Uhuru Radio, and that's all one word, all lowercase. Or email us at dj@uhururadio.com. So I understand that there's an upcoming trip that APDEP representatives are making to Sierra Leone. Brother Nate, can you tell us about that trip?
Yeah, we're taking a small contingent, Dr. Fields and myself and other ADEP members and leadership. We're going over to Sierra Leone. And the purpose for this trip, we have four main goals that we are trying to accomplish during this trip. We're basically trying to finalize the plan of action for a timeline for building the new ADEP birthing center. We're looking to initiate plans for a winter project in 2012 that will bring volunteers from throughout the world to participate in APDEP's healthcare and agricultural work in Sierra Leone. We are also looking, to establish organizational and legal infrastructure necessary to build, economic development capacity in Sierra Leone. And also, we need to, document and video and take photographs, and we're trying to create a short film, on the fight to improve the outcomes of the birth outcomes for African women and babies. So those are the main points, the main goals of our trip over to Sierra Leone. So at this time, we're looking to raise resources to make this trip possible for us. I really invite the listeners, to go to our website, developmentforafrica.org, and hit the donate button and definitely send resources, because we're looking to raise at least $4,000 to get make this trip possible for the U.S.-led contingent over to Sierra Leone.
Okay.
Those are the purposes of our trip next month.
And how can somebody donate if how can our listeners who are listening right now go on and donate to this trip?
Definitely. Just go to, www.developmentforafrica.org, all one word together.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the donate button, and you can just make a one-time donation. Or if, you don't feel comfortable with doing that, you can, send a money order check or whatever you want to sit, and put attention Sierra Leone trip to our P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 17014, Huntsville, Alabama, and the zip code is 35810. So that's how people can donate to this very important trip that's really going to consolidate, all the things that Dr. Fields was talking about in Sierra Leone, and a chance for our membership to over in Sierra Leone to get a chance to meet the leadership from the U.S.
Right on. I really want to call on folks who are listening to do that, to donate to APDEP and this trip in particular. I mean, you've heard the incredible work that APDEP is doing there in Sierra Leone around the infant maternal mortality rate, the work that it's doing, having launched a vocational institution, that is training people, in doing work that's going to, that can contribute to changing the situation on the ground there. The farming that is being done by APDEP that can help to deal with this question of food security, and all of this being done not as some kind of charity thing, but in the manner that arms Africans with our own skills to do for our own selves. And I think it's important to note that, while we're looking at these projects in Sierra Leone, these are not just projects for Sierra Leone, that this is related to the situation for African people everywhere, and that's evidenced even in the name All African People's Development and Empowerment Project, and in the work that APDEP does, not just in Sierra Leone but elsewhere around the world. So I really want to call on our listeners to participate in that. I think that's it's a really important project, and it's really important for people to play a role, even if you can't put your skills into place there. You can put some of your resources into place to help to make this thing happen. So, yeah. So, I want to ask, what is next for APDEP? What else does APDEP have coming up on the horizon?
Well, one of the things that we've been talking a lot about the work in Sierra Leone, and that is our most important international, you know, campaign and work at the moment. But some of the other things that we're involved in, for example, in the United States, that we're really looking to expand and for people to participate in, is our urban gardening work. In several U.S. cities now, including Washington, D.C., Houston, Texas, Huntsville, Alabama, and St. Petersburg, Florida, we've established community gardens and community garden collectives where, you know, we've been organizing Africans to come together to, you know, share our knowledge, to share our labor, you know, seeds and harvest, you know, helping each other grow gardens at our homes so that we can really address this question of, you know, having access to food, just like we discussed in it being an important question in Sierra Leone. It's an important question for Africans right here in the U.S. or really, quite frankly, anywhere where we are in, you know, in the world. So we're really working to expand that work, and we're looking for people, you know, with skills in that area to contribute, you know, to our work here in the U.S. Around that question. We are really excited also about the fact that we've been, you know, doing a lot of work around the question of bringing young people into, you know, into APDEP and into movement work through a couple of things that we really want for people to also, you know, support and play a role in. One of those things is the formation of a Saturday school called the Marcus Garvey Saturday School, which was initiated just this past summer in Washington, D.C., in the Berry Farms community of D.C., a really historically, you know, African community there in Washington, D.C. We're looking to expand now from the summer Saturday school into a full-blown, you know, after-school program, tutoring program that can not only help to, you know, to, you know, prepare our children and to make sure that they have the, you know, getting the kind of information they need to be successful in school, but to help to organize, you know, parents also, you know, around the question of community control of education. So that work is something that's been done in partnership with another Uhuru Movement organization, which is the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. So we're really excited about that work, inviting people to participate in that. And one of the things that we also kicked off that we really also very excited about is in the area of youth work is the launching this summer of our first annual APDEP Youth Survival and Development Skills Retreat. And just this past summer, we had a youth retreat in Oscar-Sher State Park in Florida where we taught children all kind of development skills. We had a, you know, great time, political education, and, you know, really gave young people the space and opportunity to begin to really kind of carve out their own space, you know, in our movement. And we're going to be having our next camp next summer, July 1st through 8th. It's going to be at, in Tennessee. There's more information about that in our on our website, but we're really excited. We want people to, you know, to sign up as volunteers, to get your children signed up as we really try to deepen this question of providing our children with survival skills and development skills as well. So we're really, really excited about where we're headed, you know, with the other kind of work that we're involved in as well.
All right. Uhuru. So one more question. How does somebody who has been listening to this and is enthralled by the work of AppDep and wants to be a part of this organization, how do they get down with AppDep? Nate?
Well, just go to www.developmentforafrica.org, click the join button. It's on the top tab. Basically, you can take it from there. We have, you know, principles of unity you can read over and things like that, but there's a, you know, online membership form that you can get involved in, you know, or if you're in a local space where, you know, you see, you know, where the different branches are, you can contact, you know, the different people in those specific areas like Houston, D.C., or even Milwaukee, you know, contact people through that way, and they can give you a membership form as well, but, you know, definitely we want people to go to our website and join and get involved with this work. And like Aisha said, it's just, you know, it's really, I mean, it's really incredible work that's going on here. And we're really, you know, uniting the skills of Africans, you know, in our interest. That's the main point. This is in our interest as a people. And we have a responsibility to do that. So I definitely invite, you know, whoever's listening to come get involved in this work. Yeah. Uhuru.
Uhuru. Uhuru. I know we're coming to the end of the time that we have with y'all. Is there anything that y'all like to say in closing, you know, from AppDep?
Uhuru. I mean, I really want to, you know, before we get off, I really want to thank you again, Binga, for allowing us space on Africa Live to talk about the work of AppDep. And I really want to encourage any African, like, in the past, what people may have heard coming from me and others about AppDep may have sounded like, you know, this is an organization only for people if you're a doctor or engineer or something like that. But that is not the case. AppDep is an organization that's looking. We recognize that there are all kind of skills that exist in our community. We want them all. We recognize that there are all kind of ways that people can contribute. We want that contribution. So we're calling on people to join us. You can be an active member and participate in a local branch or helping to build a local branch, or you can be an inactive member, a supporting member, somebody who recognizes that we need your $25, you know, membership fee, and, you know, and you can contribute when you can, where you can. The commitment is, you know, for you to make. And so we really, really, you know, want to underscore what Nate has said in terms of, you know, going to our website and joining and really contributing to this work of Sierra Leone. We know we've called on our members and our supporters in the past to contribute, and we're going to call on you again. Africans and those who are not Africans, our friends and supporters who recognize that that they have a role to play in support of this work, we call on you for your support and donations for this trip to Sierra Leone. And we promise you that the money that is given to AppDep is money that's going to be you know, used to help forward this goal that we all unite with is necessary, and we really just appreciate and thank all of our supporters and members in advance.
Uhuru. Nate, anything you want to add?
I definitely need to echo the sentiments, and I do express, you know, deep appreciation for letting us on the show and talk about AppDep and letting, you know, the listeners know that may not have known completely about the different work that's going on, and just, yeah, just that they know that, you know, they can, you know, be a part of this work on, you know, at their, you know, at their commitment level, and, you know, the resources are really going towards this work, and we really appreciate that. We definitely appreciate the support that we've gotten, and we're looking for more support, so we definitely appreciate this. So again, Binga, thank you for this opportunity, and again, the listeners and our supporters, we really, really appreciate you.
Uhuru. I want to thank y'all for coming on and giving our listeners the opportunity to hear about AppDep and you know, the incredible work that it's doing. I think that this contributes, I think, also to the understanding of this question of there being one Africa, one nation, you know, of African people everywhere around the world. And and that APDEP is part of this process of bringing all those skills that belong to African people everywhere around the world to contribute to building a future for ourselves as opposed to for somebody else. So I just want to thank you all for coming on to Africa Live, and look forward to the next time, because this ain't the last time that we're going to do this. Thanks again, y'all. And for our listeners, stay tuned, because we're going to come back with some more here on Africa Live on thehooradio.com. I'm going to take you out this particular session with a song, Reparations, by Bombay.
All right.
We live in a world that is constructed of the theft of the resources, both material and human, of African and other people as a consequence of its existence. Stealing black labor, black bodies, black territory, of the rape of Asia, Latin America, etc. It's a rotten, foul social system. That's the world we live in. And if you raise the question of reparations, it makes it necessary for African people to come to terms with this. So much is done against us all the time. Demoralizing black people. You took my money, you took my resources, you stole every damn thing we got. I want it.
You're listening to WhoRadio.com, voice of the International African Revolution.
Yeah. Is Welly too? E Africa. Gotta do this, man.
Oh, Major.
Yeah.
Don't go.
Yo, I gotta go, baby. Revolution in the air, baby. Yeah. Talk about revolutionary people out there. Drugs and sis. This young ace. Yo, let me rock it like this. Yeah. Like the Panthers did in 67. I'm about to run up in Capitol Hill with brandished weapons. Put the peace to the crackers facing. Then ask politely, can we talk about reparations? Now some may say that's rash, but my people getting played like a jackass. And when I think about it, I ain't the criminal, see you stole me. So the way I see it, you owe me. 42 years since the Birmingham bombing, and I'm still turning pages to see black churches still burning. So excuse me if I ain't interested in rituals, time to get political, yeah. You want me out the country, fine, I'll leave as soon as you get the hell out of mine. I just believe. Yeah, here I stand. Yo, John Doe about to make Americans scared like I'm the president of Iran.
It's Welly to Africa.
Yeah, the land is ours.
If they touch one, then they touch all.
Yeah, I know the truth is scary, but what you expect? I'm a revolutionary. Man, I don't want the people calm. Time to create 2-3 many Vietnams. Think I'm joking, yo, I'm serious. We gotta bring down the imperialists. The socialists is coming through. And if you on the wrong side, we coming right to you. Revolution coming soon, do your way. By the way, rest in peace, Kwame Ture. There's no time to play, yo. I think somebody better tell him about the great work done by Omali Eshetala. Courageous fella, bringing back the soul of the body. And leader of the African Socialist Party. The first brother that I heard say this phrase. All my revolutionary people help me say, come on.
Is Welly Tuesday
bread.
Yeah, the land is ours.
You touch one, then you touch all.
Come on.
If red lead to eat, bread.
Yeah, the land is ours.
If you touch one, then you touch all.
Yo, the reason why we say that is to remember who we was from way back. Africa, the land is ours. We're gonna take it back from the European powers. And I'm here to let you know, all your Uncle Tom and Aunt Jemima's gotta go. Yeah, you sold us for a black capitalism right next to slavery. That's the biggest capital prison. Once you take up for the system that enslaved you, you gotta do whatever the hell that like they say do. Yeah, you black, but now you speak for whites. You want an example? Look at Condoleezza Rice. You wanna see the best of we? Then learn your history so you can change your destiny, yeah. Yo, E-Africa, you say it's we led through. Now I'm out like the Mau Mau Uhuru, yeah. Yo.
Is the motivation hanging up the whole damn nation? Looks like we always end up in a rut, trying to make it real. But compared to what? Slaughterhouse. Children are killing frogs. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs. Tired old ladies are kissing dogs. And I hate that human love, that stinking mud. Trying to make it real. But compared to what? Said the president, he's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. No one gives us rhyme or reason. You have one doubt, they call it treason.
Huru, and welcome back to Africa Live here on HuruRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and earlier on in the program, well, first of all, you were just listening to Compared to What, Roberta Flack, and before that, Akeem's The Land is Ours. We are going to go into now another portion of the program. Last Sunday was the anniversary of the assassination of Che Guevara. For those who are unfamiliar, if you're unfamiliar, I'm sure you were at least familiar with the image of Che Guevara, whose image has been on many shirts around the world. He was an important figure in the revolution in Cuba, who played a really important role as one of the leaders of that revolution. Che Guevara was from Argentina, however, and joined Fidel Castro in the 26th of July movement that took to Cuba, took to Cuba from Mexico to take on the U.S. Imposed neo-colonial force there, Fulgencio Batista, Che Guevara was a really important figure, not just in Cuba, though, but elsewhere. He was a true internationalist who, along with the Cuban Revolution, stood along with oppressed peoples in various places, including Congo in Africa, struggling, lending their hand, recognizing that, so long as imperialism existed anywhere else in the world, that the revolution there was not complete or not secure, and Che Guevara was actually assassinated in Bolivia by U.S. CIA agents on October 9th, 1967, and just to commemorate Che Guevara and his internationalism. We wanted to play for you an interview that was done December 16th, 1964, 3 years before his assassination, with some journalists in the U.S., some American journalists, on December 16th, 1964. So this is an interview with Che Guevara of the Cuban Revolution.
This is Chris Koch. On Wednesday night, December 16th, a group of American socialist journalists and writers spent about an hour talking with Comandante Che Guevara at the Cuban mission here in New York. I was there with a microphone and tape recorder, and this program will be a report of that meeting with the Cuban Minister of Industry. East 67th Street between Madison and Fifth Avenue was blocked off by barricades and a handful of policemen. The group of writers who had met at a restaurant in the neighborhood were stopped by police at the corner. We waited until clearance came from the Cuban Mission building near the center of the block, then walked into a large townhouse through a tight line of New York's finest, making comments and nudging us as we tried to get through the door. We waited in a storeroom for about a half an hour and then went upstairs, into a large room with a high ceiling, a desk, a marble fireplace, chandeliers, and three sofas, partially surrounding a large coffee table. The writers ranged themselves on the sofa, and Comandante Guevara knelt on the floor in front of the table. Those standing soon settled down on the floor around the table next to him. Comandante Guevara was dressed in pressed military fatigues and polished black boots. During the conversation, he was in constant motion, lying on his side, shifting to a squatting position, back to his side, resting his head on his hands, and puffing constantly on a cigar. Constant motion. Guevara was relaxed, joked much, smiled always. The conversation was hardly orderly, and much of it was of little real use. At least a portion of those present seemed more interested in advice on how to conduct the North American Revolution than on information or analysis of the Cuban. And for a good portion of the discussion, such questions were more revealing than the answers. Guevara, too, quickly sensing that the session would be less than demanding, began to take the questions in a spirit of general humor. Nonetheless, there were portions that may be interesting. I have reorganized the material somewhat and left out several lengthy digressions, and from time to time have rephrased a question. Guevara's answers, however, are unretouched and presented exactly as they were given. One area of the discussion dealt with his own revolutionary past and his analysis of the Cuban guerrilla struggle.
You are Argentinian by birth, and rather than make a revolution in the Argentine, you went out and, as I understand it, traveled and stayed in several countries before coming into conjuncture with Fidel Castro in Mexico. I would like to ask how you look back upon this and see it as some kind of lucky juncture, or that somehow you were searching until a revolutionary situation coalesced, or?
Bueno, es una pregunta más bien de intimidad, así de círculo, después de tres o cuatro coñac y remembranza de otras cosas.
It seems to be a question to be answered after three or four drinks and more intimate atmosphere.
En general, lo que se puede decir,
general, what we can could say,
que hay algunos momentos.
There are some moments
de nuestra revolución,
in our revolution,
que son cosas de loco,
that are things completely mad.
El ataque a Moncada,
the attack against the Moncada barracks,
la salida del Grama,
the expedition of the Grama,
la continuación de la lucha con el grupo de hombres,
the struggle with the handful of men that remain.
La defensa contra la última embestida de la dictadura en la sierra.
The defense against the last great attack by the dictatorship in the Sierra, maestra.
La invasión de las villas.
The invasion of the province of Las Villas.
La toma de las principales ciudades.
The seizure of the principal towns.
Cada una de esas cosas se analiza.
If you analyze each one of those things,
y se llega a la conclusión de que había loco de por medio.
You reach the conclusion that there was something mad in the middle, something crazy in the middle.
Y como todas ellas concatenadas llevaron a la toma del poder.
And as all of them, as a chain, led to the seizure of power,
tal vez se podría llegar a la conclusión de que para tomar el poder se necesita ser un poco loco.
You may have to reach a conclusion that in order to seize power you have to be a little crazy.
O por lo menos no tener miedo a lo que vaya a pasar.
Or at least not to be afraid to what may happen.
Que es lo que nosotros no tuvimos, sinceramente.
Which we didn't have, honestly.
At what point did you know that you had won?
¿En qué momento se dieron cuenta de que habían ganado?
Eso ya es una pregunta de una película de la UCIS.
That is a question which belongs more to a film by the United States Information Agency.
Someone then asked if audacity and a certain craziness were necessary to make a revolution, how these qualities could be kept and nurtured after the revolution had been successful. How does a government prevent the growth of bureaucracy?
Esa es la pregunta que nosotros nos
hacemos. That is the question that they formulate themselves.
Y buscamos una serie de respuestas.
They seek a series of answers.
Experimento.
Of experimentation.
Pero no podemos contestarles.
But they cannot answer.
Totalmente.
Totally.
Dentro de unos años, sí.
In a few years, yes.
About keeping audacity alive, have there been any changes in Cuban education in terms of preventing youngsters from growing up into small-b bureaucrats and into dead souls?
I don't know about
objetivo de Cuba en el sentido de evitar que los jóvenes se conviertan en pequeños burócratas.
Estuvimos discutiendo el otro día, tú.
We were discussing that the other day.
Estás repitiendo las preguntas.
We were repeating the questions.
Sí.
Yes, there have been.
Todavía no está estructurado como un sistema.
We have not made a structure out of it as a system.
Pero hay la identidad entre el estudio y el trabajo.
But there is the identification between the studies and the work, labor.
El trabajo de los estudiantes ayudando a determinadas tareas agrícolas.
The students work, they cooperate in certain agricultural works.
El significado de este trabajo.
The meaning of this work.
Por ejemplo, para ir a recoger café.
For example, to collect coffee. To
solamente tienen coffee. Derecho a ir los que han aprobado todas las asignaturas.
Only those students which have passed all subjects can go.
El trabajo es un premio.
Work is a price.
Los tipos de escuelas,
the kinds of schools,
en lugares difíciles,
in difficult places,
por ejemplo la escuela de maestros voluntarios,
for example the school of voluntary teachers,
en la Sierra Maestra,
in the Sierra Maestra,
y otras experiencias de ese tipo,
and other experiences of that sort.
Almost all American psychoanalysts say that the social revolutionary as a type is immature and is fighting out infantile problems. Now, you are trained as a psychoanalyst and you are a social revolutionary. Would you care to comment on this view of American?
Yo creo que no hay que buscar.
I don't think we have to look
tan digamos. No hay que ser tan rebuscado en la apreciación de los hechos.
We need not be so detailed in the appreciation of facts.
Los revolucionarios no son gente normal.
The revolutionary people are not normal people.
Eso se lo puedo asegurar.
That I can assure you.
Pero, en definitiva,
but
lo importante es que la capacidad de construcción y de sacrificio.
But in the long run, the important thing is that the capacity for sacrifice
construcción
and construction
se va desarrollando.
Be developed.
El revolucionario hace la revolución.
The revolutionary makes the revolution.
Pero la revolución hace el revolucionario.
But the revolution makes the revolutionary.
Y es una interrelación constante.
And there is an interrelationship, a constant interrelationship.
Donde el revolucionario va alcanzando grados más altos.
Where the revolutionary achieves a higher level of conscience.
¿Por qué empezó? Se lo podemos dejar a los psicoanalistas.
Why did he start? We can leave that to the psychoanalysts.
Pero el hecho final.
But the final fact
es un resultado de la lucha.
Is a result of the struggle
y de la acción de las masas sobre el propio revolucionario.
And of the actions of the masses on the revolutionary himself.
In many ways, the Cuban revolutionary movement has been unique. At this point, do you think there are any lessons from that uniqueness that can be adapted to other revolutionary movements, either in other Latin American countries or here?
No, yo no empleé la palabra caso único.
Oh, I did not employ use the word unique.
Peleo contra la palabra caso único.
I fight against the word unique.
Dije caso de loco.
I said thing, a crazy thing.
Pero loco hay mucho.
But there are a lot of crazy people.
Y las bases sociales que llevan a Cuba a la revolución.
The social basis which carry Cuba onto a revolution.
Y el lugar donde se desarrolla.
and the place where they developed.
Desde el punto de vista de la geografía o de la estructura social.
From the point of view of geography or social structures.
Es muy parecido a los demás países de Latinoamérica.
It's very similar to those of other Latin American countries. They are very similar to those of other countries.
Más todavía.
And even more. Furthermore.
En Venezuela.
In Venezuela.
Se han cometido los mismos errores que nosotros cometimos.
The same mistakes we made have been made.
Y han seguido la misma línea que nosotros seguimos.
And they have followed the same road we followed.
No aprendieron nada, en realidad.
They did not learn
de todos nuestros defectos.
Anything from our mistakes.
Pero van por el buen camino.
But they go in the right direction.
What mistakes specifically do you
make?
El excesivo acento en la lucha en la, por la lucha en las ciudades, por ejemplo.
Too much stress on fighting in towns, within the cities.
Se pierde mucho cuadro.
You lose too many cadres.
Y no se saca dividendo suficiente.
And there is not enough profit.
Espectacular nada más.
It's very spectacular, but that's all.
La alianza con una serie de militares en intento de golpes.
The alliance with a number of military people in an attempt of coup d'etat.
Como Carúpano en Puerto Cabello.
Like Carúpano en Puerto Cabello.
The discussion also ranged for some time on developments throughout Latin America and an analysis of the various Latin American countries. Guevara was asked at one point whether the United States' allegation that the weapons used in Venezuela by the guerrillas were of Czech manufacture, exported from Cuba. Guevara replied that Cuba did have a lot to do with the problem of Venezuelan weapons, because Cuba had said for a long time that the only way to liberate a country, when you do not have weapons, you have to rise with the weapons you have, and then have to take the rest of the weapons from the enemy. To that extent, he said, they were responsible. He emphasized, time and again, however, when speaking of other Latin American countries, that conditions were different everywhere, had to be analyzed, and that there was no formula for revolutionary struggle. For example, he asked,
would you offer us an analysis of the Brazilian debacle?
It's too much to ask to make an analysis.
Ese es un país que es unos 80 veces más grande que Cuba.
That's a country which is about 80 times the size of Cuba.
Y tiene 10 veces más población.
And 10 times its population.
Nosotros ponernos a hacer un análisis así.
For us to make an analysis
poquito,
like that.
Sería un poquito pretencioso.
Be a little presumptuous.
Lo fundamental.
The fundamental thing.
Es que el gobierno y organizaciones de izquierda y las masas populares.
Is that the government and the leftist organizations and the popular masses
confiaron en lo que se llaman las instituciones.
Trusted the so-called institutions.
Y en las instituciones no se pueden confiar.
And institutions cannot be trusted.
A menos que sean de la misma clase.
Unless they belong to the same class.
Y el ejército naturalmente no era de la clase proletaria.
And naturally, the army did not belong to the proletariat.
Eso es la síntesis, no el análisis.
I would say that is a synthesis, not an analysis. What does the major think about the case of Puerto Rico? Can it be settled within the UN, or eventually Puerto Rico must have to appeal to the same means as Venezuela, for example?
Bueno, Puerto Rico es un caso distinto al de Venezuela.
Puerto Rico is a different case from that of Venezuela.
Desde el punto de vista de las posibilidades de lucha, de la misma lucha, ¿no?
From the point of view of the struggle itself, or the possibilities for struggle.
Naturalmente es un pueblo colonizado.
And naturally it is a colonial people.
Pero la circunstancia de estar dentro del sistema norteamericano.
What the circumstances of it being within the American system.
Cantidad de puertorriqueños que viven en los Estados Unidos.
The number of Puerto Ricans which live in the U.S.
La presión que hacen sobre toda la cultura del pueblo puertorriqueño.
The pressure made on the whole culture of the Puerto Rican people.
Y en fin, sobre su su idea de pueblo en sí.
and in short the pressure on its idea as a people,
hace que la lucha sea sumamente difícil.
Those circumstances make struggle very difficult.
Y que si llegara a ser una lucha armada,
and if it may reach the proportions of an armed struggle,
tendría que tomar otras características.
It would have to have other characteristics.
El tamaño de la isla, la
población of the island, the population,
impiden hacer una lucha del mismo tipo.
They prevent a similar struggle.
Cuando las condiciones estén maduras,
when conditions are ripe,
y el pueblo de Puerto Rico esté en condiciones ya de alcanzar su libertad,
and the people of Puerto Rico are in a position to achieve, to attain its liberty, its freedom,
si los norteamericanos no ceden,
if the Americans do not yield,
el pueblo encontrará la forma de,
the people will find the ways of struggle.
Yo no soy ni un profeta ni un profesor.
I'm neither a prophet nor a professor.
Profesor de liberación.
Not a professor of liberation.
Soy el pueblo.
It depends on the people. You think there is a man in Puerto Rico that could replace Albizu?
Los hombres nacen de la masa.
The men come from the masses.
La masa está ahí.
And the mass is there.
Ahí tienen que salir.
They have to come from there.
Do you think it will be possible for Latin America to live in peace without the fall of the United States government?
Es una pregunta difícil.
It's a difficult question.
No. Por lo menos por ahora, lo único que nosotros podemos saber es que va a haber que luchar.
At least for the time being, all we have to know is that there will be a need for fighting, for struggle.
As I said earlier, much of the discussion was an attempt to get an analysis of the United States situation and to give advice on revolutionary tactics here in this country. To one such question, Guevara replied.
How do you see, considering recent events of last summer and the recent events in Mississippi, how do you see the struggle of the Negro people in America?
Vista los últimos acontecimientos de los acontecimientos del verano pasado, de los últimos acontecimientos en Mississippi, ¿cómo contempla usted la lucha del negro americano?
Esa es una pregunta muy difícil para mí.
That's a very difficult question for me to answer.
Habría que conocer todas las reacciones del pueblo americano en su conjunto.
We would have to know all the reactions of the American people as a whole.
Las relaciones entre blancos y negros.
The relationships among whites and colored.
La capacidad de reacción de la población negra.
The capacity for reaction among the colored people.
La capacidad de sus líderes.
The capacity of the leaders.
En fin, habría que conocer muy profundamente una serie de aspectos que yo no conozco a fondo.
In short, we would have to know with great detail a lot of aspects which I do not know.
En general, parece que la violencia racial,
in general, it seems that racial violence,
se está encendiendo en algunos estados norteamericanos,
is flourishing in some North American states.
Frente a eso, hay varios recursos.
In front of that, in the face of that, there are some resources or some means, some ways.
Agachar un poquito más el lomo, a ver si duele menos el golpe.
We can crouch a little more to see if the blow hurts less.
Protestar energicamente.
We can protest with energy.
Y recibir un golpe.
And then receive more blows.
Or responder golpe por golpe.
Answer blow by blow.
Pero eso se dice fácil.
But that's very easy to say.
Muy difícil de hacer.
And it's very difficult to do.
Y hay que prepararse para hacerlo.
And there must be a preparation in order to do that.
¿Cuál será la reacción Yo no sé.
I don't know what the reaction will be.
¿Y cuál será la posibilidad de reacción?
And what the possibilities of a reaction would be.
Tampoco puedo decirlo.
I cannot predict them.
More specifically, at one point, Guevara was asked if he would recommend guerrilla warfare in the United States, recognizing that this is a highly developed and urbanized country. Guevara replied,
ahora sí, pensar en una guerra de guerrillas en Estados Unidos.
But to think about the guerrilla warfare in the U.S.
En todo caso, si me pidieran consejo, yo les haría que.
If you would ask for my advice,
que no se metieran en eso.
I would tell you not to engage.
Y no por simpatía al gobierno.
And not because of sympathy to the government.
Along the same lines, although with perhaps more seriousness, Guevara replied to a question of whether or not the Cuban government planned to start a large propaganda campaign in the United States to reach large numbers of the American people.
Si ahora se quisiera sacar una hoja a afeitar para reemplazar a la Gillette.
For example, we would like try to produce now a shaving, how do you say,
a razor
blade to replace Gillette.
Ah. Necesitaría millones y millones de pesos de propaganda.
You need millions and millions of dollars in propaganda.
Y sería para luchar contra un solo producto.
That would be to fight against only one product.
Ahora hay que ver cuánto necesitaríamos nosotros de propaganda.
We would see how many resources we would need to employ in propaganda.
Para luchar contra todos los productos.
In order to fight against all products.
Que son producto de un sistema.
Which are product of a system.
Todas las cadenas radiales y
all radio
y televisión, periódicos,
newspaper.
No, necesitaríamos la mitad del presupuesto de Estados Unidos.
We would need half the budget of the U.S. in order to carry on that.
Y no lo tenemos.
And we don't have that.
Preferible esperar que el pueblo entienda.
It's better to wait for the people to comprehend.
Porque el pueblo siempre supera las
people on the long run.
Todos los problemas de la propaganda.
Overcomes all the problems of propaganda.
Si a pesar de toda la propaganda que hace la Gillette.
In spite of all the propaganda made by Gillette.
Si fuera igual que la hojita que tenemos nosotros allá en Cuba.
If Gillette was the same kind of blade as the one we have in Cuba.
Nadie la compraría.
Nobody would buy it.
Propaganda tiene sus límites.
Propaganda has its limits.
Y los límites de la propaganda contra Cuba.
And the limits of propaganda against Cuba.
Está en la verdad del pueblo cubano.
Are in the truth held by the Cuban
y la verdad
people.
De nuestra revolución.
And the truth of our revolution.
Vamos a esperar.
Let's wait. We can wait.
The other major topic during our conversation with Comandante Guevara was Cuban-American relations. He said that he was sure that eventually normal relations would be restored between Cuba and the United States. He said that Cuba had made numerous attempts to normalize these relations, but that the United States had made none. Asked how a rapprochement might be achieved, Guevara said that he didn't know. I then asked him,
is the United States' attempt to isolate Cuba from other Western countries being more or less successful?
El resto del hemisferio, en cuanto a los gobiernos, ha tenido casi total ya.
With regards to the governments, it has had an almost complete success.
En cuanto a los pueblos, cada vez menos.
With regards to the peoples, every time less success.
How serious is this on the Cuban economy?
¿Qué consecuencias tiene esto para la economía cubana?
No, el aislamiento de Latinoamérica, ninguno.
The isolation from Latin America has no consequences.
Nuestros problemas económicos nacen de dos lugares nada más.
Our economic problems are born in two places.
Los Estados Unidos.
The U.S.
Y a veces nuestras locuras también.
And sometimes our own crazy actions.
La locura esa que nos permite hacer otras cosas.
Those crazy actions which do not permit us to do other things.
Los errores.
Mistakes.
La ignorancia.
Ignorance.
Tomamos un poder, un estado completo.
We took the complete state. We took over a complete state.
Cambiamos todo el aparato estatal.
We changed the whole structure of the state.
Toda la estructura.
The whole system of power.
Y tuvimos que crear toda una cosa nueva.
And we had to create a whole new thing.
Ahí se cometen errores.
You have to make mistakes there.
Esos son nuestros dos enemigos.
Those are our two enemies.
La ignorancia, la improvisación por un lado.
Ignorance to improvise.
Y los Estados Unidos por el otro.
And the US on the other hand.
El primero estamos venciendo.
We are conquering the first mistake. First question.
El segundo también.
And the second too.
The last question of the discussion dealt with what one of the writers called the Chinese position, that it was better for underdeveloped countries to improve their economies on the labor of their own people rather than to rely on the economic assistance of the great powers. Guevara replied to this.
Eso es un problema muy, muy delicado para tratar.
It's a very delicate question to deal here.
Cada uno tiene sus razones para actuar de la forma que actúa.
Everyone has his own reasons to act the way he does.
Nosotros no confiamos en nuestras propias fuerzas solamente.
We do not only trust our own forces.
Nosotros confiamos en las fuerzas de todo el campo socialista.
We trust the forces of all the socialist bloc.
Y exigimos además.
And we ask furthermore.
Que se nos ayude.
That they help us.
Porque es un deber del internacionalismo proletario.
It's a duty of the international proletariat.
Y es un deber nuestro.
And it's our duty.
Reclamar la ayuda.
To ask for that help.
Porque nuestra lucha no nos pertenece a nosotros
solos.
Because
our struggle does not belong only to us.
Pertenece a todos los pueblos del mundo.
Belongs to all peoples of the world.
Y no la podemos dejar caer.
And we cannot let it fall.
These have been excerpts from the discussion with Che Guevara.
go wash, no water you go use. To ba fe se be o mi lo ma lo. If you want cook soup, no water you go use. To ri bang bo na o mi le ro re o. If your head dey hot, no water go cool am. Tomo banda gba o mi lo ma lo. If your child dey grow, no water him go use. If water kill your child, no water you go use.
To No Get Enemy by Fela Kuti. And you know, before that we were playing an interview with Che Guevara, interview that was done December 16th, 1964, about 3 years before his assassination, which was which the anniversary was last Sunday, October 9th. We want to take a look in this last few minutes just to salute the we see the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy other cities inside the U.S. Happening all over the place, and we want to salute that and say, you know, right on. You know, there should be a challenge to this system that is foul and rotten to the core. I do want to also say that that we have a responsibility to raise the understanding of that of what we're looking at higher. I say it because, you know, you hear the articulation out there that, you know, the problems that that Wall Street is destroying U.S. democracy. That Wall Street is, you know, messing up capitalism. But the reality is that Wall Street is the center of is the economic center of capitalism. It is not compromising U.S. democracy. In fact, it is an example of U.S. democracy. There is no such thing as U.S. democracy. Never was. Wall Street and U.S. imperialism itself was built at the expense of Africans, stolen labor, resources, and lives of African people, and the stolen land and resources of the indigenous peoples of the Americas. In fact, we wouldn't even be able to talk about a Wall Street or a U.S. Period, had it not been for the theft of and genocide committed by Europeans against against the indigenous peoples of the Americas. So we want to point that out and really say that we have to it has to be understood differently. It has to be understood better that what we're looking at is not a Wall Street that's corrupting U.S. Democracy. What we're looking at is a system, a parasitic system that was born parasitic, that is in crisis today because of the fact that it is parasitic, and because people around the world who have been historically its host are determined to overturn that relationship. That is the basis of the crisis that you see in the U.S. In the imperialist economy around the around the world. The fact that imperialism, this parasitic system, which the U.S. is at the center of, is not able to suck the blood of oppressed peoples in the same way it used to be able to. So we wanna salute any challenge to U.S. imperialism and call on those who are challenging it to recognize the fact that the problem is not the problem is that this parasitic system has to go. The problem is that imperialism has to go. And it's not enough to challenge the bankers for a greater piece of the stolen pie, stolen from the rest of the world. What we have to do is to oppose imperialism. Because if you don't impose imperialism, you'll find yourself opposing, you know, different policies of imperialism from now until forever. But we have to oppose imperialism itself. So-called 99% inside the U.S. must join the 99% in the world oppose the war on Africans and other oppressed peoples around the world, and has to oppose the war being waged right in the U.S. streets against African people and Mexican people and other oppressed peoples right here. You know, the Occupy movement has to do that. It lends itself to the possibility of co-optation by, you know, one sector or another of the imperialists themselves. And we see the Obama administration even now attempting to do so. We've seen, you know, statements from the Obama administration that we're on the side of the Occupy Wall Street folk. Well, that's interesting considering the fact that Wall Street is that Obama's campaign and Obama's candidacy itself was brought to you by Wall Street, which gave him more than it given any candidate historically. We say we have to oppose imperialism. That Occupy Wall Street is right on, but it should be Occupy Wall Street, not Libya. Occupy Wall Street, not the African community in the U.S. You know, Occupy Wall Street, not Iraq. It has to be an anti-imperialist struggle that is being waged, and so we want to say that and welcome the Occupy Wall Street forces to this struggle that we as Africans and other oppressed peoples around the world have been historically making for some time now. Welcome you into the fold and say let's stand against imperialism. That's what has to be done for there to be a future. So I wanted to say that, and then from there I want to get ready to close the program out, and we're going to close it out with a statement that was made by Philadelphia mayoral candidate Wali Diab Rahman, who is also the president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement. Statement he made at a rally recently in Philadelphia at the Occupy Philly a rally that was being held there. So we're going to close it out with this. Stay tuned, you know, because even though Africa Live is closing out for the day, you have Reparations in Action following this. And after that, you've got Diasporic Music followed by Golden Sunday Sound. So stay tuned here on AhuruRadio.com.
The president of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement and a 2011 mayoral candidate. Uhuru Movement, for anyone who is unfamiliar with their work, advocates tirelessly to advance the interests of the long-suffering and economically deprived Latino and African-American communities in Philadelphia and beyond. Recently, Diab has been involved in openly and publicly challenging Nutter's Jim Crow curfew targeted at African-American children and African children and their parents. Please welcome local political leader, activist, and mayoral candidate, Diab Ayubala.
Uhuru. Occupy Philly, what's going on? How y'all feeling? All right, Philly against war, what's going on? My name is, the introducer said, my name is Wali Diab Ayubala, and I'm running for mayor of Philadelphia as the only independent candidate on the ballot. But more than that,
I want to be clear that I'm also the only anti-war candidate on the ballot. I'm the only anti-imperialist candidate on the ballot. And that's something important to say, because that's why we're here right now, right? We are opposed to war, correct? We're opposed to imperialism, correct?
Yes.
We're opposed to oppression, correct?
Yes.
We're opposed to exploitation, correct?
Yes.
Well, there's no greater form of oppression, of exploitation, of war that we'll find in this city than that which is being waged against the black and Latino community right here by the city of Philadelphia.
Right.
We can't ignore that reality. When we talk about war, it's not just the U.S. government sending bombs and soldiers to places like Afghanistan and Libya and throughout the oppressed world, but there's a war being waged against the black community right here in the form of a public policy of police containment. This war manifests itself in the form of, as she said, the curfew, which at one point was spending over $56,000 per weekend of our money on the targeting of black and Latino youth in the city of Philadelphia, but meanwhile they claim they can't find the money to keep the schools open. So these are real serious questions that we have to pick up and answer and address. And when we talk about the 1%, there's no force that is in greater allegiance with the 1% than those who are in City Hall right now, who deny the people access to our own resources for economic development, who deny the people access to control of our own communities. And so my campaign, I'm calling for one economic development for all our communities, but not for one at the expense of another. I'm calling for community control of police as well as education. I'm calling for these things because they are needed right now. And so this campaign, for this campaign, we will take the over $1 billion that is being currently spent on police, prisons, and courts and use that for genuine economic development. We will raise more resources for economic development through taxing the major corporations. For too long, this city has